Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's not ashamed of me. I don't know why. He's not ashamed of calling us his brethren. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. In case you haven't seen, we have some new prayer cards back there on the table. Please take one and pray for us. We need the prayers and you need the practice. We even gave you two options. We got two different pictures. You can just choose one or the other. Or take seven of, my wife and I, we have a little box at home on our table with lots of prayer cards of different missionaries, and every meal we pray for one of them. So take seven of them and pray for us every day. That'd be great. I'll print some more up. Don't worry. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you came. Well, I hope to be a blessing. Definitely, it's always a blessing to be here. And I want to read just verse 4. I'm going to kind of pick up where Brother David left off last night. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for," and I'm not sure what this word is, draught. I think it's draft, but I think there's probably different pronunciations of it. But anyway, let down your nets for a draft. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless his word tonight. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for saving us. Thank you, you're not ashamed of us. Thank you that you loved us enough to die for us. And Lord, help us to be willing to do something for you with our lives. Bless your word tonight, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I never thought about it, but on the way over here from Poland on the plane, I watched this movie more like a documentary. It was actually live footage of all the Apollo missions, just nothing but live footage. It's pretty amazing stuff. And I realized, I guess for the first time, that this week is the anniversary of the Apollo landing. 50 years ago, yesterday, Apollo 11 launched on what probably for most people was an impossible mission. To me, it's astounding. I'm not smart enough to even understand the beginnings of all that kind of mission, but to land on the moon, it must have been, for most people, like, you people are out of your mind, land on the moon. But, you know, even though there are some, you know, naysayers that say it didn't happen, I think we did land on the moon. And there's still a few flat earth people out there that think it's all just, you know, made up, but I think we actually landed on the moon. Not that it really matters tonight, but it was an impossible mission, you know, if you think about it. And then just six years later, imagine, 6 years later, this church launched on an impossible mission, launched out into the deep waters of world evangelism. And I'm sure there were plenty of people that said, "Ain't no way, you're out of your mind." Right, Brother Lindell? "You are crazy. We can't afford that. Who are we going to send? How are we going to support the pastors? How are we going to have this building? I mean, you're out of your mind. That's not for us. Wait 5 years. Wait 10 years. Wait 50 years. We can't. We just started this church, right? I mean, it's been like a year or two, right? Come on. Be for real." But you know what? This church decided to launch out. It decided not to stay close to the shore. And I'm sure the temptation was there, and sometimes maybe still is there. I mean, after all, think about what could have been done with all that money. Now you're thinking, aren't you? How much was that, by the way, you know? Yeah, we're gonna have a huge building. How much bigger building do we need? I mean, look at this place. Oh, we're gonna have, you know, a gymnasium. You know, we could have had a blossoming TV ministry, and we could have just been an amazing place, an amazing mega church of some kind. Or not. Not going to happen, right? Or it could have just been an abandoned building with Ichabod written all over it. Or turn into a dance hall. Because you know, there is a principle in the Bible. Unto whom much is given, much is required. And if you understand that principle, then you don't worry about what other people are doing. You don't care about what, you know, others might be doing or what others could do or should do. What you do is you look inwardly and say, what am I required to do? What is my responsibility? I've been given much. What should I do? The church at Jerusalem tried to stay close to the shore too. They were told to go out. And yet they stayed close to the shore. And we all know what happened there. God found a way to get them out. But you know, I am thankful. I am thankful for the vision that Brother Lindell... I'm just curious. Are there any people here besides Brother Lindell that were here from the very first mission conference? Raise your hand, please. Wow. There's still a few here. Isn't that amazing? Even Brother Lindell's still here.
Sometimes.
You know what? It doesn't matter how many people say we didn't land on the moon. There were at least a few people that said, no, we did, because we went there. We actually walked on the moon, you know? And you people here, people may say, no, that didn't really, all those stories you guys hear. I mean, you know, missionaries, they like to embellish, you know, they like to make up these stories. Hey, I wasn't here from the very beginning. But I have been here for 36 years, and I am an eyewitness that these things that you're hearing, they really happened. They're not just embellished stories to make a quick buck or to sell a book. No, these things happen. Sometimes we really wished they hadn't happened. I mean, it was not always easy, but they happened. And I'm thankful to be a part of something that required, that was the product of a vision. To not stay close to the shore, to launch out into the deep. And I think it's safe to say that none of us would trade what we have now for comforts or a bigger building or a gymnasium or whatever else you might think we could have done with all that money. And when you think about what God has done, and you think about the fruit now, and the fruit and the rewards in heaven,
right.
Nothing is better. You can't offer me anything else. This is just like the best. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. So I thought about that. What does that require? To launch out into the deep. Well, first thing it requires is to look beyond the shore. Okay? If all you're doing is looking at the shoreline, because there your boat is, you know, tied to the dock and it's actually up on land, you can actually sit in the boat and fish from the boat, but the boat's, you know, half on land, half on water, you feel pretty safe. You're not gonna have too many problems. You can jump off the boat if it gets kind of, you know, bad weather. If it gets, you get kind of hungry, you can jump off the boat and run home and get a sandwich. It's pretty safe there, you know? But if you want to launch out into the deep, you're going to have to look away from the shore. You have to look away. Look beyond the shore. And too many people don't look beyond the shore. It's easy to get so focused on yourself and your home and your family and your culture and your language and your family and your country and everything that's so comfortable for you. And you don't even look beyond your own little world. But didn't Jesus say, go ye into what? All the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I know, pessimists will say, well, I can't do all that, so forget it. Why even start? You know how you build a house in Mexico? I built two. Me and Bill and Mike and Brent. You know how you build a house in Mexico? All the houses in Mexico are built out of brick. Thousands of bricks. And everyone is heavy, and you have to use mortar, and you have to use concrete. It's a lot of work. You know how you do it? One brick at a time. Oh, you think, no, thousands of bricks, ain't no way. I mean, everything is done by hand. You didn't have all these machines and all these, forklifts. And everything we did by hand. The only thing we had was a cement mix and everything else. We had to carry the bricks by hand, up the ladders and down the ladders and all this stuff. It's a lot of work. You know what we did? One brick at a time. You know how we're going to reach the world? One soul at a time. One city at a time. One country at a time. You do yours, and I do mine, and he does his. Everybody has a part. We might actually do something. But as long as we sit there and say, no, that the water out there is too deep, and it's just too much out there, it's too dangerous. Look away from the shore. Jesus wants all men to be saved, he says. He is not willing that any should perish. Now, you might not have the same mind as God, and you probably don't. I'm not sure any of us could say with a clear conscience, I'm not willing that any should perish. Especially the day that somebody cuts you off on the road, or your boss doesn't give you a raise, or some neighbor keeps you up with loud music all night long, or somebody, on the street actually punches you out. But you know what? God is not willing that any should perish. So you ought to look away from the shore. Look beyond the shore. Because there are lots of people out there. America has 29%. Let me rephrase that. According to the statistics, and there's a book out there called Operation World, and maybe there's some variance in this statistics, but all things being equal, 29% of Americans consider themselves evangelical Christians. That means they understand the gospel, they know the gospel, and they claim to believe the gospel that you and I know, that we're saved by grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. 29%. In Mexico, 8%. According to this book, it's probably a high estimate, but let's just go with that. 8%. Poland, 0.3%. And you think your country is godless. You think your country is dark. You think your country has got so much need. And hey, believe me, every country has a need for the gospel. But if we're going to make some comparisons here, 0.3% of the population claims to be evangelical Christians. I did a search today. Again, this is maybe not 100% foolproof, but I just did a quick search. Baptist churches in Texas. Yellow pages. Baptist churches in Texas. I know, I'm a Baptist, that, fine. Baptist churches in Texas. Results. 10,954. Baptist churches in San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio. Results. 245. Now maybe, I think there are some that got kind of snuck themselves in, they're not Baptist churches, whatever. But I just typed in Baptist churches. And you wonder why we have an admission conference? Why we talk about launching out into the deep? Look away from the shore, people. Look beyond the shore. We live in a town of 250,000 people. A quarter of a million people. There are five other somewhat evangelical churches in our city. Five others. Two of them are Pentecostal. None of them do any kind of public evangelism whatsoever. Six total churches in a town of 250,000. And that's actually a blessing. There are cities of 100,000 that have no church whatsoever. Didn't Jesus say in the book of Mark, what did he say there? I can't exactly quote it. He says, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Yeah. Jesus is looking beyond the shore. They're looking for, hey, all men are seeking for thee. What would you do? Well, let's just build a church right here. They can all come to me. I'm getting popular. I get my own YouTube channel, my own website, my own this and that. Well, I'll be popular. He says, no, I'm going to go to the next town. I've been sent to preach to all these towns. Oh, we can get so comfortable. Present company included. You know, I like where I live right now. I mean, I actually do. I've been in Poland. Debbie and I have been in Poland for 24 years. That's crazy. And I actually like it. It's a nice little town. And it's easy to feel comfortable. But you know, there are other towns. Other cities. No church. No gospel witness. The second thing you need to do is to leave your comfort zone. You're going to launch out. It won't be easy, trust me. That's why many don't go. Now, I'm not saying all have to go. And I'm not saying that all those who stay are too comfortable to leave. But there is an argument to be said that many times part of the problem is we're just too comfortable. We don't want to launch out. I mean, hey, that water's deep out there. Polish is hard. The culture is different. They don't respect your personal space. Now, I'm not sure if I've told you guys this or not, but man, they don't understand this 3 feet of personal space. They get right in your face. And they touch you and they, you know, they just all over you. And they think it's normal. You learn to live with it somehow, but it's just different. You're going to let a culture difference keep you from doing God's will?
Amen.
You're going to say, oh, I wanted to go, but Joe said that they don't give him a personal, and I'm a Texan. I want my 3 feet of personal space. I can't handle that. Launch out. Leave your comfort zone. What did Jesus say in Mark 16? Go! You know what? You can't launch out unless you go. He didn't say send a drone. He said go! Go! Didn't he leave? Didn't he come? Didn't he leave the splendor of heaven? You talk about a culture difference. Oh boy. You talk about, you know, putting up with a bunch of differences.
Yeah.
Oh, but my family is here. Yeah, so was his. Up there.
Yep.
He's surrounded by angels and the glory of heaven and the riches and the sinlessness of heaven. And he came down this filthy, wicked earth for you,
amen,
for me. Luxuries. The language. I hate this language, she says. Trust me, we all understand. We who are in a foreign country, we can relate. And anybody that tries to learn English in Poland, when they start learning it, they are much more sympathetic towards us. We found that the only people that laugh at our Polish are the ones who don't even try to learn English. Those who try, they're very polite, they help us, they correct us. The rest of them just laugh at us. Is that why you're not going? I don't want to be laughed at. And you better not go. You don't let that keep you from going because someone might laugh at you? Leave your comfort zone. 35 years ago, a few of us in Mexico had to leave our comfort zone. We faced a real dilemma. We had already, in a sense, launched out. We were already in Mexico, but, you know, something just wasn't right. We were not satisfied with the so-called conversions that we were trying to so-called conversions that were actually happening. We found out that people were saying, yeah, I believe the gospel, and they still prayed to Mary, and they still confessed to the priest, and they still baptized their babies, and they still did all the other stuff. And we think, something is just not right with this. And we decided to try something crazy. Inspired by the apostles and missionaries like Stan Dale, we decided that we were not going to avoid the controversial topics such as Mary worship, idol worship, confession, infant baptism, loyalty to the Pope, loyalty to tradition. We launched out.
Amen.
Trust me, it was deep water. And it was scary. Those of you who have never encountered the reaction of a Latin American Roman Catholic when confronted with bold preaching against these doctrines and sins cannot really appreciate how deep that water was. The best way I can explain it is you just take the worst possible video you've seen in the last maybe couple of years when any kind of conservative activist goes to a liberal university and tries to say something, you know, and they get pelted by all kinds of objects and they get ridiculed and called names and beat up. Something along those lines, but many more people. And no video cameras to document it. So you have to just take our word for it. It really happened. I mean, it was pretty crazy. And so we did. We launched out. It didn't take long for us to realize that we were touching on a nerve. You know that saying, you throw a rock down a dark alley and you hear something, like, you know, yelping, you know you hit something. Yeah. And actually that was, to a certain degree, that was a relief for us. Because after a while, when you're preaching the gospel without any kind of demand for repentance from things that really are in their lives, you're just preaching generally to people who have no idea of repentance, never heard the gospel, and then you say, yeah, okay, whatever. You long for some kind of response, and you don't want rocks flying, but you do want them to understand where you're coming from. So, we were ridiculed, mocked, scorned, threatened, assaulted, detained by the police, brought before judges, slandered, even in the press. It was crazy. And most people said it was crazy, even believers. They even considered it suicidal. I mean, they're going to kill you. And they actually tried to sometimes, believe it or not. I mean, they tried to run over me with a bus. They probably came out with guns. They came out with knives. I mean, they threatened us. And they were not kidding. It was not a joke. I don't know I could have handled it by myself. I think I probably would have just turned and run back home. But I'm thankful for the men I was with. And by the grace of God, we stuck to it.
Amen.
And even though many said it was impossible, you can't build it. You can't win souls by... We had five pastors. I'm probably telling this story many, many times over, but maybe there's new people here. Five pastors came to our house and met with them. They said, please stop preaching on the street. Because the city government is not being very nice to us. They used to be nice, get free land and free trees for our land, for our churches. And now they're not being very nice to us. We said, well, just do what you want to do, but we're not going to change. Just tell them you don't know us. No, but you can attract more flies with honey than with vinegar. And Bill says, well, we don't want flies. What a dumb, what do you call it? Comparison, you know? Like, what are you talking about? No wonder you have churches that are so dead. You're attracting flies. Come on. Go figure. Well, what did we have to do? We had to lean on the Lord. We couldn't count on believers supporting us. You people were amazing. But believers we meet on the street, oh, they would ridicule us and they would shame us in front of other lost people. How dare you? How dare you speak against their religion? They love God too. So-called Christians doing this. So much for being, you know, supported and protected by your fellow believers. Forget that. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And we had to do a lot of trusting on the Lord. And even when we went to Poland, years later, we had to relearn that lesson too because it was the same issue there. You know, the water was deep there too. The language was hard there too. The culture was different there too. And we were told the same things there. No, you Americans can't win souls in Poland. Americans can't learn Polish. Thanks for the, you know, support and optimism. And Americans can't start a church. You can't start a church unless you have your own big building, which means give us your money from the States and we'll build a building. Americans could never update the Polish Bible. You're crazy. But we prayed. And you prayed. And you gave. And you stuck to it. And you didn't give up. And even when we thought we might just have to throw in the towel, you didn't give up. And we're thankful for that. And I guess you could say that you folks also launched out into the deep. Probably at times you thought, what are we doing? I worked hard for that money. That I have a hard job. I worked hard and I'm sending it to those guys. And what are they doing over there? You launched out into the deep. You know what? We learned Polish. And Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. You have to let down your nets. You have to have a plan. Launch out, okay, and then what? I'm afraid a lot of people, they launch out, but they don't know what to do. They just Paint to show up and all of a sudden people knock on their doors and say, hey, how do I get saved? It doesn't work that way. It's, you know, I don't remember in Mexico getting very many visitors to our meetings from the gospel tracts. Maybe I'm, you know, old and forgetful, but I don't remember that happening. In Mexico, most of our people that came to our churches was because we met them on the streets, went to their houses, and had Bible studies, and they finally started coming out. You have to get out there and do something. Let down your nets. Preach the word. Preach repentance. Jesus said that repentance should be preached. He didn't just say preach faith. He said preach repentance. He says God commands all men everywhere. All men everywhere to repent. Let down your nets. Preach the word. Be in season, out of season. He says, and it pleases God by the what? The foolishness of preaching. Is there anything more foolish than somebody standing up on the street preaching in a foreign language that he did not learn at birth and preaching repentance to people that probably hate him? It's foolishness. According to the world. But you know what? By the grace of God, and sometimes with fear and trembling, and I say that literally, knees knocking, we preached. In Mexico and in Poland. And we passed out lots of gospel tracts. Man, we used to print them by the thousands ourselves. I don't know how many we passed out in Mexico. One time we put up, I think, 100,000 at one time or something, or maybe more than that. And one, we had lost count, but we've passed out over 2 million gospel tracts in Poland. Why am I saying that? Because if you want to accomplish something, you've got to let down your nets. You've got to get out there and do something. Now, maybe you can't do a whole lot, but you know what? It doesn't take a whole lot to pass out a gospel tract. And I have had more talks with people on the streets in the last few years just by passing out gospel tracts. Give it a shot. We preach in the streets and we pass out gospel tracts. And we get talking to people. You have to let down your nets. Nets. All of them. Take a couple of them. Take two tracts. You know? I passed out a tract today. That was tough. I can go home now. Hey, come on. Have some faith. Yeah. Amen. When you plant a garden, what do? One seed over there. One seed over there. Okay. Now we'll see what it... No, come on, man. You take a whole bunch of seed, you plant it because you know the potential is amazing. The more you plant, the more you reap, right? Amen. Let down your nets. And passed out gospel tracts that pointed out differences. And said, you know, this is what a Catholic believes. This is what a Christian believes. We have one now that says, have you ever been to a non-Roman Catholic church service? And boy, do we get the questions. We have one in right in front of our church building that's a big sign, like about 3 foot square, and it says the same thing in big letters. We get more people stopping, just walking by, stopping, reading that sign. Right next to an ATM machine, they read it while they're waiting for the ATM machine. They read it. We had impromptu debates on the streets and parks. It just, out of the blue, a big debate, you know, and people are listening. Discussions, Bible studies. Why do I say that? Because to explain that launching out into the deep, It's not just an activity. It's God's command, and it's a command that actually works. Okay? It actually works. It may take a while for it to start working. But you know, like I say to those who criticize the way we do things, so you know why I like the way I'm doing this a lot better than the way you're not doing it? You know? Just give it a shot. Amen. Launch out. Let down your nets. And then let God have his way. Our text says, I'm going back to Luke chapter 5. Believe it or not, I'm almost finished. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. I don't think any of us in Mexico were prepared for what took place. We may talk like we know what we're doing all the time, but trust me. We were just a bunch of amateur fishermen out there just throwing the net out, you know. Probably didn't have all the right techniques to it, but hey. Jesus said there was fish out there, so hey, we'll give it a shot. Throw the net out there and see what happens, you know. And you know what? Something happened. I mean, people really started getting saved and throwing away their idols, burning them in the garbage. Amen. Taking them off their wall, breaking them, shattering them, and then telling all their neighbors about it. Amen. Some of them acquired more zeal than all of us put together. You couldn't stop them. Going all over the city, telling all their friends and neighbors. Showing and telling, you know. Look, this is my idol. I'm breaking it. You need to break yours too, you know. God did some amazing things, and I'm not sure we were all prepared for it. And in the space of 5 years in León, we were already headed out to the next city. It was, I would say we were kind of in disbelief. It was... It just blossomed so fast. We couldn't hardly keep up with everything. 5 years later, we were on to the next city and on to the next city. And then God told a couple of us to launch out deeper. Lord, I did. I launched out. My wife says, I already launched out. You were born here, but I launched out. I learned Spanish. This was tough. Now you want me to go to Poland? Look what he said, Debbie. He says, launch out. You know, what am I supposed to say? She says, okay. Okay. Are you hindering your husband from serving God? I hope not. We had a mission conference in Mexico, in León, and three families surrendered to the mission field. Three. That's bonus three. Three families. And that was a dream come true. Man, wow. No, it can't be done. And it happened. And they did. And they went. And that's when God spoke to us and said, hey, looks like Mexico might be taken care of now. At least to a certain extent. There are other places out there that are further away from the shore. And then they have a lot fewer believers and a lot fewer preachers. What about them? So on to Poland we go. And 24 years later, here we are. The Bible is in its third printing in 2 years. Who would have thought? Trust me, none of us. We were just hoping that a few churches would actually want to use it. Now, bookstores order them by the cases. Who would have thought? And the church in Total is growing, and we're thankful for that. Amen. God is saving souls, and we got some men who look like they want to start, you know, being faithful and preaching, and it's amazing. Amen. And looking back at Mexico, I guess I consider myself truly blessed because I can talk about both places. I was in both places, right? It's like, wow. I got it. Those places have a special place in my heart. They really do. I didn't get a chance to go back this time, but when I go back, it just blesses me. I don't even know the count now. I'm sure one of y'all knows the count. How many churches are in Mexico? How many are there?
Close to 30.
30 churches in Mexico? If I counted right, 9 of them or so, only 9, were started by American missionaries. We don't even have the majority. They have started more churches than your missionaries have. That can't be done. You got to do it our way, not your way. No, we're going to do it God's way, and we'll just trust God. And he did. I want to end with this. Luke chapter 5 and verse 7. Listen, look at this carefully. Let's read verse 6 first. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. You know what? You should come and help.
Amen. That's right.
Yep. You may have missed out on Mexico. I don't know if Mexico will see what it saw back in the 80s, at least with our ministry. You may have missed out. And some of you probably say, oh man, I almost went, but I didn't. You ever had that kind of thing? You know, there was a sale at the mall, and oh, I almost went, but I missed it. Who cares, right? If you missed out on that, well, you missed out. I hope you at least went down there. But it's not over. Jesus has not come back yet. And I don't have a date. You may think you have the date. And you may think, no, you know what? It's just too late now. I mean, he might come any day. Hey, we've been saying that for a long time.
Right.
And yeah, he may come today. But he might not.
Yeah, right.
You may have a chance to still get in on it.
Amen.
And have a part.
Yep.
And do something.
Amen.
You can pray. It was the prayers of this place that kept us going all those years. It was the prayers of this place that saw the people in Mexico come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Without your prayers, it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
It was your support enabled us to study the Polish language 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. And learn it. Most missionaries that don't try to learn the language and never learn it well. Because of your support, we were able to just total immersion in Polish every day with a tutor. And we learned Polish. And if you didn't have a part in that, that's fine. But you can still get in on it. You can still do something. I mean, maybe God will call someone this week and you can have a part in the next person. I'm not trying to beg for your money, but there are other people who might be get called. Other people who might have a greater need. You can do something. Have a part.
Amen.
They beckoned unto them that they should come and help them. You know, it's kind of a strange wording, isn't it? He didn't say, oh, please help us. You should come and help them. You should. You should help them. Why would you not help them? I mean, oh, have fun there, by. I didn't catch those fish, so I'm not going to help you because then, you know, I can't share the glory because you caught it. No, hey, help the guy get the fish in the boat. You should help them. I don't care if you get the praise. The praise you get up there anyway. You should help. What can you do? Do something.
Amen.
Look away from the shore. Launch out. Let down your net. Lean on the Lord.
Yes.
And let God have His way.
Amen.
You will be blessed,
yes,
if nothing else, in eternity.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
I just don't think you can get the message any clearer than that. We have an incredible responsibility. And there are some in this church, in these pews, that are negligent in their duties. And it's time to stop. And you've got to ask yourself, what do I need to change? What do I need to do? And what an excellent point. These men need help. They need our backing. They need us desperately. We're going to stand. We're going to sing number 59.